Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to our series of programs on the Book of Job. And this series of programs is entitled, Is God Guilty as Charged? Is God Guilty as Charged? When Satan the devil, and then Job, put God on trial, they brought some very serious charges against God. What were those charges that Satan and Job brought against God? And is God guilty as charged? And I don't know if you've ever thought about the book of Job in this way, that this is really a court case that is going on. This is a trial. And first we have Satan putting God on trial, and then we have Job putting God on trial. And we need to evaluate the evidence to see if God is guilty as charged. Now first we're going to look at the charges Satan brought against God. For this trial, you are the jury. So pay close attention to the charges that the prosecutor, Satan the devil, brings against God. And pay very close attention to the evidence submitted by Satan the devil so that you can accurately determine if God is guilty as charged. So let's turn over to the book of Job, chapter 1, and we'll start reading in verse 6. This is the book of Job, chapter 1, and verse 6. This is how the trial gets started. A day came when the sons of God came to present themselves before Yahweh. Now the sons of God here are understood to be the angelic host. They came to present themselves before Yahweh, the Lord God, and Satan also came among them. Now Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. We can see that in Revelation chapter 12 and verses 9 through 10. That's what Satan does. He accuses the brethren of something. And we're about to see what accusations Satan brought against God and God's servant Job. So Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. He's making accusations. He's starting this trial case. He's bringing God to court because he's leveling some charges against God. He's making accusations against God. What are these accusations that Satan brings against God? Let's read in verse 7, Job chapter 1 and verse 7. Yahweh said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Then Satan answered, "I come from walking up and down all over the earth." Now ask yourself this question. When Satan is walking up and down the earth, what do you think he's looking for? He's walking all up and down the earth. What do you think he's looking for? God warns us to be on the lookout because our adversary, the devil, walks up and down the earth, all over the earth, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now if you knew that a roaring lion was walking around seeking someone to devour, you would be very careful. You would be very wary around that lion, wouldn't you? Well, that's how Satan the devil is, as our adversary. He's always looking to devour someone. And that's what Satan was doing here. He was looking to devour someone. So God says in verse 8, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Now wait a minute, that seems kind of strange. Satan the devil is looking to devour someone, and God, now think about this, God is the one that initiates this and says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" In other words, you're looking to devour someone, try devouring Job. That's what God is saying. "Have you considered my servant Job?" Now why would God be willing to put Job in the path of Satan, knowing that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking to devour someone? Why would God put Job in Satan's path? Well, here's the answer. After God asks Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" he says, "Because there is none like him in the earth, a wholehearted and upright man, one who fears God and turns away from evil." So here we have a situation where God holds up Job as the best example on earth of human righteousness. God is so confident in Job that he actually puts Job in the path of Satan. And again, in other words, he's telling Satan, if you want to devour someone, try devouring Job. That's a lot of confidence God has in Job. So you can just imagine, Satan is licking his chops here, just like a roaring lion who's hungry, looking to devour someone would be, just licking his chops when he looks out and he sees someone that he estimates is a lame duck that he can just pounce on and tear apart. So in Job chapter 1 verse 9, Satan answered Yahweh and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Okay, here we have Satan's accusation of God. Can you tell what it is? He says, Satan says to Yahweh, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" And nothing is the key word here. Satan is saying that the only reason why people serve God is because God pays them to serve him. God pays them to serve him. In other words, Job isn't serving God for nothing, Satan is claiming. Job isn't serving God for nothing, nothing in return, that is. Job expects something in return for his service to God. That's what Satan claims. The intonation is that God isn't worth our worship just because of who God is. Satan is saying that God is only worth our worship when there's something profitable in it for us. Satan is accusing us of serving God with the profit motive. The accusation is that God is inherently worthless and therefore has to resort to paying for his worship. Again, get that in your mind, because this is the accusation Satan levels against God, and we need to know if God is guilty as charged. So the accusation is this: God is inherently worthless and therefore pays for worship. Now listen to how Satan further argues his case. In Job chapter 1, verses 10 through 11 now, Satan says, "Have you not made a hedge around him? Haven't you set up some protection around him? Haven't you put a hedge around his house too? And haven't you put around all that he has on every side a hedge? God, that's why he's serving you. You protect him in every way. So big deal, that's nothing. Anybody would serve you if you always go around protecting them. On top of that, you've blessed the work of his hands, and his livestock have increased in the land. So you give him protection, you give him a big house, you give him plenty of livestock, you bless everything that he does. That's why he's serving you. You're just paying for his worship. But I tell you what, God," and this is in verse 11, Satan is saying, "I tell you what, God, you put forth your hand to snatch away all that he has, and he'll curse you to your face. So instead of taking your hand to build a hedge around him, to bless the work of his hands, to give his livestock increase in the land, instead of you protecting him and blessing him, instead of you giving him health and wealth, I bet you, if you put forth your hand to snatch away all that he has, he'll curse you to your face. And that's because, God, you are inherently worthless, and therefore you have to pay for worship." That is the accusation that Satan is bringing against God. The question for us is this: is God guilty as charged? Well, we're going to find out, because God responds by saying to Satan, "Okay, I'll let you put me on trial, and Job will be the witness." So now we have the characters. We have Satan, the accuser of the brethren, who's actually bringing God and Job to trial. So he's the prosecuting attorney. Then we have God, who is the defendant. And we have Job, who will be the witness. And of course, you are the jury. You are the judge. You have to decide, is God guilty as charged? The charge that Satan brings against God is that God is inherently worthless and therefore has to pay for his worship. Job is going to be the witness and testify to something. It's either going to convict God or vindicate God. But you have to be the jury. You have to be the judge. Will Job's testimony acquit God or convict God? is God guilty as charged? So let's see what the testimony of Job will be. And God says, all right, I'll take away all that he has, and we'll see if he curses me to my face. If he does, you win the case. If he doesn't, I win the case. And now in verse 12. So Yahweh said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay your hand upon him. Now, what do you think Satan's reaction was? Well, again, he's licking his chops. He's hungry and he wants to devour someone. And he's saying, God, all right, you put out there the best that you've got. I'm going to take him down in a split second. In a New York minute, I'm going to take him down. I'm going to devour him. So Satan went forth from the presence of Yahweh. In our next program, we're going to see what the testimony of Job will be. Thanks for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.
666, the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? Before you can know for sure what is the mark of the beast, you must know for sure the identity of the beast. I will reveal to you from the pages of the Bible the identity of the beast during two free seminars entitled, What is the Mark of the Beast? The first one will be held on Thursday, January 18th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Wesley Chapel Library, which is located at 2861 Wesley Chapel Road in Decatur, Georgia. The second seminar will be held on Thursday, February 1st from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Covington Library, which is located at 3500 Covington Highway in Decatur, Georgia. For more information, call 404-412-0032 or log on to our website at www.christianambassadors.org. Please don't miss this extremely important seminar, or you might miss the opportunity to escape the wrath of God that comes upon those who receive the mark of the beast. This message is sponsored by the ABCs of the Bible radio program.